Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Voice in my head said, ignore him, he might go away. So then I jumped in the shower, got out, rubbed the fog from the mirror, and lo and behold, that old guy was still there. The difference was he was wet. The body is a miraculous thing. It's growing. It's always growing. Oh, it may actually grow older, and it is growing older. I hate to break this to you, but you're all growing old, every one of you. The youngest to the oldest, we're all growing old. Us that are further along the path, we feel the aches and pains that maybe you don't, but still, they're real, they're there, and we all feel it. In fact, some of you who helped the Maoris move are probably feeling it this morning. Pain. Now, it's an interesting thing about pain is that it's not just an isolated thing. If you stub your toe, it's not like you go, oh, the toe is the thing screaming out, saying, ow, ow, ow. No, it's your vocal cords, it's your mouth. It's your body. Your movements of stubbing your toe comes alive, doesn't it? Your whole body feels it. Now, we've been going through the book of Acts, but I thought this morning we would look at the body. Oh, not my body. I know you have to stare at it, but we're talking about the body of Christ. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you would, stand for the reading of the Word of God. Starting at verse 12. For, as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would their body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unrepresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer of it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, members individually. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We just pray as we go over this passage that each one of us would see and sense, Lord, our part, not only in this body, but in the body specifically, generally speaking, I should say, that we are the body of Christ. So Lord, we just pray your blessing be upon this time as we get into your word. And may your Spirit have his way with us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, verse 12 once again says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ one body. One body. Now, Romans, Paul says, so we being many, one body in Christ. Individual members of one another. One body. But notice, again, he said, in Christ. In Colossians, Paul says it this way. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. We the body, Christ the head. I'm not the head. Caleb's not the head. No priest is the head. No pope is the head. No, Christ is the head. Only Christ. Just as husbands is the head of the wife, so Christ is also head of the church. And he is the head of the body, the church. Christ. Christ is the head of this body. Now let's look at us as just a local body. We are the body of Christ. It's important for us to understand this truth so we don't get mixed up in things. Like who's better, who's greater, who's worse. But we all make up a body, his body. Now look at verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. When we came to Christ, the Holy Spirit gave us new life. You were born again. Not by works of righteousness. If anybody should boast. No. But again, it's regeneration of the Holy Spirit. In each of us. The Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit joining each one of us into his body, Christ's body. It's not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Making one body. But each one of us, individually, is the temple of God. The temple of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul will go on to say in Corinthians that we together are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But notice something. Again, it's his body. Not my body. Not your body. It's his body. We see in Ephesians 5:30, once again, he says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. In Ephesians, he says, therefore, is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. So the Spirit, when you were born again, when you came to Christ, you became born again, which made you Spirit-filled. Now, not isolated, not an individual, not somebody that's just by themselves. No, you're connected to each member of the body of Christ. Now, again, generally speaking, that's true with all of us. But specifically now, we're talking about the local body. Each one of us have a function, a purpose. But again, notice something. Who's the head? Christ. Now, to understand that, too, we have to understand him as our example. Now, listen. In his submission, he took human form. His identification with the need and condition of the human race. He put others before himself. He ministered to the sick. He touched those who were unclean. He sought the lonely and the hurting. He received the outcast. He comforted those who sorrowed. He spoke the truth in love. He restored the sinner. See, his obedience unto death brought us new life. Now us must take up the cross and have his life in and through us by his Spirit. We, his body, identify with Christ in his death, now in life. Born again, used by God for his purpose and for his place. Now, look at verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. It takes all of us to make up the body of Christ, which makes sense, doesn't it? None of us are the head, which we can take it in further of us. None of us is Christ. You do not have all the gifts that Christ had. None of us do. None of us can. In the wisdom of God, though, what he's done, he's given each person certain gifts that represent not only Christ, but his church. Now, knowing that we, again, have Christ's likeness, and we'll talk about this a little further, I want to look at four sets of words. And the first one we've already touched on. It's submission and obedience to Christ, the head. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, it says, "And he put all things under his feet," God has put all things under Christ's feet, "and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all." So again, he's the head. He fills us with his Spirit to do his work. So in submission and obedience to him, those are the first two sets. The second I want you to look at. Look at verse 15. "If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if there were all one member, where would the body be?" The second set is diversity and unity. Diversity in the sense that, like I said, each of us are given certain gifts. What those gifts are is in submission and obedience to Christ, the head. Notice that God has appointed. It doesn't mean, see, we get into this locked door saying, this is who I am, I can't do anything else. No, it's the openness to God's Spirit, allowing him to do as he pleases in each of us. Now, but even in this body, we all have different gifts. Now, think of it this way. Think if we all had, if you will, the gift of helps. So in saying that, we all come here to set up the chairs. But not only the chairs, we set up the music equipment. We put the pulpit here. We got our cross. And then we all sit down. Silence. 30 minutes go by. Bless you. Mark Joyce says, "Is there anything else we should be doing?" Caleb says, "Well, we're doing it." Mike says, "I'm satisfied." Brian says, "You're right." So we all get up and we put the chairs away. Caleb and I have our discussion afterwards. I say to Caleb, "How do you think it went?" Caleb goes, "I think it went well. Everybody put their chair down. Everybody sat in it. It was beautiful. It was like orchestra. It was a symphony." And I agreed with him. There was worship in it. As we clinked the chairs back, we all went our separate ways. Or what if we all could play music? Now, that would be great. We all bring our musical instruments. Of course, we all help Peggy bring the piano down here. But we all play. Not together, no. We all have our own songs we want to play. So what would it sound in here? Like noise. Like a clanging cymbal. Or what if we all, and see, this was the problem with the Corinthian church, is they thought speaking in tongues was the most important thing. They revealed that you were filled with the Spirit. How about if we all came in here and we all had the gift of tongues and we all just started speaking in tongues? And let's just say somebody walks by and says, "What is going on there? It sounds like a bunch of clucking. Nobody understands anything that anybody else is saying." I saw a bumper sticker that kind of made me smile. It said, "I have no ducks, I have no row, I have chickens, and they're everywhere." That's the way it would sound. It'd be just not harmony. It would be crazy. Not a symphony, not a body, but a mess. See, it takes diversity. It takes each of us to have certain gifts. Again, though, it's to understand something. Don't belittle anything. God is always at work changing you and me. There's always more gifts that he'll give, but it's an understanding. Are we obedient and submitted to what God has given us? At this point, remember what Jesus says? He says in the end, in that parable, he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." See, it's not about what you are doing. It's the heart and the submission unto Him, the head, for all of us, for each of us. It's for us to understand that God has called us into a position, into His body, to make the body function properly. Now look at verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. See, for the human body to function properly, it needs the unity of its parts. Did you know that? Your body is, if you will, fearfully and wonderfully made, as David says. It's miraculous. Your body, when it's conditioned right, is functioning properly. It's in harmony with itself. The problem comes with health is when something goes rogue or something enters into that. That then creates chaos or a virus or sickness. Otherwise, your body is an amazing thing and it will fight off those viruses. It'll fight off as much as it can anything that will enter in. Unless it's a cancer and the cell goes rogue. Unity is an important function in God's body. Division is a cancer. Anger without forgiveness in a body is cancer. My opinion above your opinion and it causes division is a cancer. Now, Paul says, actually to the Corinthians, he says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, into the same judgment, all, if you will, under Christ. He's the head. And if you will, that's what we live and go by. The light and the lamp, the direction of the church has to be the Word of God. It has to be. It has to be His Word. And knowing that then, it's submission and obedience to that Word. When Jesus says, well, and through Paul and whoever, forgive, which is said many times, because you're forgiven. See, we always want to think about, well, that was done bad for me. That was against me. What about me? And Jesus will, if you listen to Him and His Word, He'll tell you, He'll say, but I have forgiven you much. Could you remember Peter? Peter goes, hey, Lord, he's probably chest out and says, Lord, how many times should I forgive those that sin against me? Seven times? Because seven sees the number of perfection. That's a lot. Seven times. It's like the Irishman, right? He goes into a bar, goes into a pub. He gets in there and this guy starts an argument with him. The guy punches him right in the face. The Irishman goes, rubs his face and turns his cheek and starts his thing again. And the guy comes up to him and hits him again. So then the Irishman gets up and pummels the guy. Well, those bystanders are watching and says, why is it that he hit you once and you just stood your ground and you continued to eat? And then he hits you again and then you basically pummeled the guy. He says, well, my Lord said, turn the other cheek once. After that, he just pummeled him. No. Seven times Peter said, forgive, right? Jesus said, no, seven times 70. Now, don't count 490 times. I could see some people up there going, okay, this is 489 times. One more time, wife. One more time. No. It's always. He was saying forever, forgive, forgive, forgive. Keep the unity. Keep the unity of the body. Keep the unity of your marriage. Keep the unity of your family as much as you can. But where unity is, there's health. And, if you will, as the writer in Psalm says, David actually, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. There's a joy. There's a health. And if you will, look at verse 23 and 25. And those members of the body which we think be less honorable, and these we bestow greater honor, and our unrepresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which it lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Well, what does that mean? Well, basically means this. If the body is healthy, if the body is in unity, then there's growth. You grow. Isn't that interesting? See, we want to grow. I remember when we were younger, I've shared this with you many a times. When I was a young believer, I read every book you can imagine about growing, maturing. I'm going to mature. So I would read these books, and they were great books, and I would recommend these books. I would. But maturity comes in submission and obedience to Christ. As you learn, obey. As you learn, listen. As you obey, you grow. Growth. Growth in what way, you may ask? See, when the body functions properly, each member doing its part in unity and submission to the role and obedience, there's growth. What kind of growth? Colossians 2:19 says, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows, increase, that is, from God. See, it says, we stay in Him as the head. As we stay in Him individually and collectively, that He's the one calling the shots, not me, not you. Then what begins to happen is we begin to grow spiritually, but also in ministry. We grow. He's the head. He's calling the shots. We're following Him. We're being obedient to Him. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, meaning every gift that God has given to you, when you bring it to Him, no matter how insignificant you think it is, because that is the most vital part. Do you understand what He was saying? That those parts that normally you don't see, those are the parts that you are more modest about. It's not only speaking of, if you will, the parts down below or above or anything like that, but it's also talking about internal organs. See, my hands, they have created things. My mind has imagined things. My feet have gone places. But without a liver, without the heart, without the lungs, my body would just collapse on the floor. Every part is essential in God's body, in Christ's body. Every part. And as God sees us faithful in whatever God has given us to do at this moment, then He'll give us more to do. When we're faithful in the little things, then He can give us bigger things. Because again, there's something else, if you will, that goes rogue in an individual that also comes out in a collective body. It's pride. God doesn't give spiritual gifts out of a whim. He gives them as He sees we can handle them under Him. Because it's His gift. It's His working in and through us. But see, something else begins to happen, if you will. Look at verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. See, with growth, or let's even go back. the submission, obedience, diversity, and unity, growth, there comes maturity. Now, how did I get this out of this word? Oh, come on. This is a hard one. It's hard to see people that are successful around you when it's not happened to you. But do you rejoice with them? Or do you go, why them and not me? Why is it the Lord blesses so-and-so, but not me? Why is it that all the time it's Mark Boyson? Mark Boyson this, Mark Boyson that, it's always Mark Boyson. Comes up here, he tells us his stories, his jokes, we laugh, it's Mark. We're all looking at Mark, he's blessed. Whatever Mark touches, he's blessed. He really is a good worker. If you want a good worker, just ask him to do something for you. But see, the thing is when that happens, then we lose sight in what God's doing in our life. And we're not allowing God his full reign in our hearts. And trust me, this old guy can tell you from experience. He doesn't give out. It doesn't work in. So then it can work out right. What an amazing God we worship. What an amazing God we love. But see, there's an end to this too. There's the last set. So we've had submission, obedience, diversity, unity, growth, maturity. But in this is something that is powerful, something that, again, amazes us. Verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Wait a minute, we're back to the body of Christ. But see, to look at this as the body of Christ, we have to understand something. How did we get here? Oh, I know. See, you and I came to faith. We were baptized in the Spirit. We're joined together by His Spirit. We are one in His Spirit. But there's something that needs to be done in each of our lives. And we've been touching on this. And I hope we're getting it. I'm not going to get over in just semantics and the wording of all this. See, you were all baptized into the body of Christ. But we all need to be filled with His Spirit. Constantly. In Ephesians, again, reading it over, says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. See, to be filled by the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit. The evidence is joy. It's joyful submission. But not only joyful submission, it's obedience. And it's a growing hunger and understanding of His Word. It's a power of understanding, of witnessing. To share. To give out what has been put in. And then look at verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more perfect, excellent way. See, it's not just being filled with the Spirit now, filled. But now we're talking about something else. What is it? It's not the gifts, then, Paul's saying. Look, it's not the gifts we're speaking of here that's the greatest. But as we will go into 1 Corinthians 13, we find out what it is. You all already know. It's love. It's Christ's love. Received by you, received by me, as it says in Romans 5:5. But now, spilling over. See, it's Christ's likeness. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Why? Because see, we're His body, so how are we supposed to be acting? Like Christ. His Spirit desires to work in and through you and me to reveal Christ to this dying world. And how does he do that? Well, again, through the character of who Christ is, he gives us the fruit of Christ, which is, again, you know it, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yielding to his spirit, these fruits produce. It's like some of you that as this spring has come and you have a green thumb, you work that soil, plant that seed, you water it, you nurture it. And I'll guarantee none of you are doing this for the sake of a weed. You're doing it for fruit. Oh, you might say, no, it's flowers. Well, that's a fruit too, if you will. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're doing it for the flower, to see the flower, the fruit of the flower. God is working in each of us to bring and produce fruit. That is Christ's likeness. Jesus even said, they shall know you by your love for one another. The body. This is what makes a dead body come to life. This is what makes a wounded made whole. This is what makes the indifferent rekindled in the flames of Christ and his love. You want to wake up? Submission, obedience. Diversity, unity. Growth, maturity. Filled. Christ likeness. For each of us. Good news. You feel like you failed? God's always looking for a challenge. The beautiful thing about God is he never gives up. He'll keep working that soil. He'll keep working on you. So we all come to the same conclusion. You're the head. I'm just an instrument in your hand. But I am love. The proof is in the Spirit in each of us. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, as a body, we have to confess maybe we haven't been the best body. But at the same time, we can also rejoice and thank you. Thank you, Lord, that there is a unity here. There is a desire, Lord, to grow. Our desire is to grow into maturity. Our desire is to be filled. Our desire is to be Christ-like. To this dark and dying world, Lord, I thank you for each of us that are here this morning, because I testimony to each of them. Lord, their heart and my heart is to follow you and to be used by you. Bless, Lord, this church. Bless this body. Help us to continue to be in unity and help us to continually grow. Grow in your spirit and filled with your spirit. And expressing and expounding the fruit of who Christ is in each of us, and his love, and his peace, and his grace, and his mercy, and his forgiveness. Bless this church, Lord, I pray, and bless each individual member. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.